RadioSt.Pete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studio inside Think Tank at Priatech Plaza in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit ThinkTankConnect.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. ThinkTankConnect.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are unemployed, underemployed, or changing careers, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will train you how to earn great money while helping people in a career as a recruiter. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com. Now let's go live to Think Tank at Priatech Plaza for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
And thank you, Joe Bordone. Welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the beautiful Big C office located on the first floor of the newly named Priatech Plaza. It's a beautiful and busy part of town. If you haven't been downtown lately, you should definitely come on down. There's a lot going on in the city, and it's just grown like crazy. I want to take this time to thank our new sponsors, Think Tank, which is now Big C, and Advanced Recruiting Academy for their support. And to all those working at our sponsors, I want to thank you, too, for all of your help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you'll learn that it is my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry so that anyone who's considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, in the process, I get to meet and talk with some of the very interesting people. And before I introduce my guest, I want to mention that if you want to view the website while listening to the program, you can visit www.brianbattaglialaw.com. You can also follow us live as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. And if you're walking by and want to tune in, you can listen to the program live on RadioSt.Pete.com. If you want to listen again to this and other shows at your leisure, just go to the archive section of the website. So I'm very happy to welcome my guest today, Brian Battaglia, the principal attorney of Brian Battaglia Law. Welcome to Job Talk, Brian.
Thanks, Dean. Pleasure to be here.
I really am glad that you have the time to be here. I also want to thank Joe Bordeaux for introducing us. Last spoke with him at the Tiger Bay luncheon.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So, before we talk about your law practice, I'd like to let everyone get to know you a little bit better. So tell us about yourself, and let's start about, like, where are you from?
Sure. Well, I was born in St. Petersburg, actually at what today is known as Bayfront Medical Center. Back then it was called Mountain Park Hospital.
Wow.
And I grew up on Treasure Island and attended schools here in Pinellas County, Gulf Beaches. I graduated from St. Pete Catholic High School and actually went to middle school at what's now known as John Hopkins Middle School. Back then it was called 16th Street.
Yeah? Okay. So. Wow. That's a grind. So what was it like in Treasure Island growing up?
Well, at the time when my parents moved there, I think there was one or two houses on our street.
Yeah.
And a lot of the area at that time was being developed. Those particular fingers and fills were basically dredged out of the bay. That's why we have some of the deeper waters in our bay today, because they used the dredges to dig out the fill or whatever, use the sand to use it as fill to create some of those islands on Treasure Island. So,
wow. And your family moved here from Miami?
Well, my dad actually moved here to Florida in 1947, and I graduated from law school in Gainesville, and then shortly thereafter he was hired as a federal prosecutor, and he was assigned to the Miami office.
Wow.
And then he was assigned and transferred to Tampa in the 50s, and was a chief assistant United States attorney for the, I guess back then it was probably called the Southern District of Florida, but it's now known as the Middle District of Florida. Mm-hmm. So that's how we ended up here in the Tampa Bay area.
And so you've got law in your family?
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah. My dad was a lawyer. My sister's a lawyer. Wow. And I'm a lawyer. So
that's great. And you certainly have some really great credentials. You know, so I'd like to talk about that too. Where did you go to school?
Well,
college.
When I graduated from high school, I went up to the Florida State University in Tallahassee. I majored in criminology, graduated from the School of Criminology, and then I pursued a law degree. I went to Drake University School of Law, which is probably the best decision I've ever made because that's where I met my wife, Nancy, and we've been married now for close to 30 years, this year. And,
congratulations.
Thank you. We have two great sons, and my oldest son graduated from FSU, and he'll be graduating from graduate school this year, and my younger son is getting ready to graduate from high school.
And the older one's got a great opportunity in Michigan, I hear.
Yeah, been hired by the University of Michigan Health System, so we're, happy and proud for him, and I know he'll do a great job there, and I'm sure he'll have a lot of fun, learn a lot, and probably go to a few football games there in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, he'll love it there. It's a beautiful campus, and the city itself is just wonderful. I spent a lot of time there myself, so good. That's wonderful. And so let's talk about you do a lot of work, and before we really talk about the law practice specifically,
sure.
I know that you do a lot of community and public service. And I like people to get to know you on that mm-hmm. that level because it's pretty impressive. And so let's start. You're on the board of directors of a few organizations, and one of them is PEMHS. It stands PEMHS. So tell us about what that stands for and what that means.
Well, PEMHS is the Personal Enrichment Through Mental Health Services. They operate several crisis stabilization units here in Pinellas County, which are basically designed to assist those in need who are having mental health issues. And under Florida law, there are particular statutes that regulate and dictate exactly what a community needs as it relates to mental health services. And PEMHS does a great job in assisting those in our community who need the assistance. And obviously, there are a lot of people out there who do need help. And if it wasn't for organizations like PEMHS and some others, they really wouldn't have any place to turn other than, unfortunately, today, many folks who come into contact with the system who have mental health challenges, their first and initial contact is with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So law enforcement, unfortunately, has had to take up a lot of the services and assistance and in that particular area of the healthcare field. And so hopefully, the legislature and other entities will be able to provide additional sources of funding to help people who are in need.
Well, that's great. And you're also on the board of directors, or were up until recently, of Girls, Inc.?
Correct.
What is that?
Girls, Inc. is a national organization. It's probably one of the oldest, but the chapter here, Girls, Inc. of Pinellas, has a facility in Pinellas Park, and they provide aftercare services to girls. And also they have a very well-recognized STEM program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math program that is supported by many the local corporations who have provided financial assistance to the organization. And so that's pretty much the focus of Girls, Inc.
Mm-hmm. And you're also a board member of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club. How long have you been on that board?
I've been a member for probably, a couple of years, and then I became a member of the board, I believe, in December of this past year.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. I appreciate it. And the Tiger Bay Club of the Suncoast has basically public officials and leaders make presentations at the luncheons that are, every month or so or every mm-hmm. other month. And they have a very unique program coming up in, I believe it's April, with Carl Bernstein will be the guest speaker.
Wow.
Who is famous for his articles with respect to Watergate.
Mm-hmm. And I know you attended the last meeting that had both Mayors Kreisman and Buckhorn there.
Right.
I bet that was an exciting discussion. Any highlights you can tell us about?
Yeah, I recall them talking about, obviously, the Tampa Bay Rays and some of the things that are happening there, and also some of the programs that are being initiated in not only in St. Petersburg with regard to development programs and things of that nature, but also some of the development plans in Tampa near, I think it's the Lightning Arena, where they have some big plans for development of condominiums and other types of structures mm-hmm. that will boost that particular area.
Great. Now, I want to talk about your background and your credentials as it relates to your law practice.
Sure.
You've been a member of the Florida Bar since 1986?
Correct.
Okay. And you can also go before the Supreme Court of the United States. And how does one get that, be able to do that? I don't see that often.
Well, I was admitted to practice before the Supreme Court of the United States in September of 1993. I've not argued a case in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. There are many lawyers who are members of that bar.
Kind of rare, though, right?
I don't know don't know the numbers, but I know that if you practice a certain period of time and you have either two or three other attorneys vouch for you who are also members of the Supreme Court of the United States bar, that you can submit your application. Mm-hmm. And you can become a member of that bar. And if you are fortunate enough to have a case that you feel has some constitutional issue that would be of interest to the court, then obviously you could pursue it. But again, the Supreme Court of the United States very rarely accepts many cases. They're limited in the number of cases they can choose because they look for the ones that are obviously of great importance for, the constitutional issues and federal statutes.
And you're also a member of the Florida Supreme Court, or you're able put cases before the Florida Supreme Court too, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And so, but you're also a certified family mediator. So tell me about that.
Sure. Well, Florida is a leader in alternative dispute resolution. Actually, back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Supreme Court of Florida began a process of looking for alternative dispute resolution mechanisms to implement into the court system, because at that time, really the only thing we had available was arbitration if, for example, there was a contract that required arbitration, or if you did not have a contract that necessitated or required arbitration, you were left to basically pursue your claim in court. And so the only way really to get it resolved through that process was, picking up a phone, which still happens today, and talking with the other lawyer to discuss some of the pros and cons of the case, and many cases settled on the courthouse steps. So in order to determine and see what other mechanisms were available, the Supreme Court started evaluating different programs, and they implemented what's called mediation here in Florida. And the mediation program in Florida is administered through the Supreme Court of Florida. It's called the Dispute Resolution Center. And as you pointed out, I am a certified mediator. I'm certified not only in family law, but also I've been certified as a circuit court mediator and a county court mediator since approximately 1995. And what that particular program allows for litigants is that there's an alternative mechanism. So at some point in the litigation, if a lawsuit's filed, either the parties can agree to mediation or the court can order the parties to mediation. And what happens is that you meet with a third party, such as myself, for example, mm-hmm. that has no interest in the case, and a mediator would then meet with the lawyers and the parties. And the mediator's role is not to make a decision. We have no authority to make a decision and tell people what the ruling is going to be, mm-hmm. as would be the case if they go through the system and end up in front of a judge or jury. But the role of a mediator is really to explore different alternatives and allow for an atmosphere where people are more able to discuss some of the issues and the underlying currents in that case. Because sometimes the case and the facts and the pleadings may indicate one thing, but there are other issues involved too. Mm-hmm. And so getting the parties together many times will help them come to a resolution that they agree upon, because the terms of the settlement will be based on what they decide, mm-hmm. not what the mediator says or dictates, because the mediator can't do that.
Interesting. I like that. And now also, you've got some really good ratings. Tell us about the rating from Martindale Hubble. You have an AV preeminent rating. What does that mean, and why should somebody looking for an attorney care about that?
Sure. Well, I think when you're selecting attorney, an attorney, you need to, you know, find out what their qualifications are, obviously, look at their experience. You may want to interview two or three different lawyers because you want to make sure that, you have a good rapport with the lawyer, whoever you choose. With regard to the different ratings, these are just different avenues where you can take a look at the person's experience and abilities. And the Martindale Hubble rating system has been around for, I think, probably the oldest in terms of that. But what they do is they send out questionnaires to lawyers and judges who respond to those, and then they come up with a particular rating. The AV rating is the highest rating, and then there's a BV rating, and then there's some others. So
okay. And also, you have a 10.0 superb rating from AVVO. What is that organization about?
You know, ABO is another – it's a system of basically a listing of lawyers in different practice areas, and they have their own criteria as it relates to the particular ratings they assign. Mm-hmm. And but ABO is, again, a system where you can get on and put in different criteria of the area of issue that you're looking for, legal issues, and you can find the names of various lawyers who you can then contact and interview and make a decision on who you want to hire.
Mm-hmm. My guest today is Brian Battaglia, the founding member of Brian Battaglia Law. And Brian, let's talk about your practice. And but before I do, I just want to say, looking at your website, what a great picture in the very beginning when you first got on there. You mentioned a drone did that. I mean, that I'd recommend to anybody listening, just go even to the website to take a look at that. It's just so cool. It has such good detail of right where we are.
Yeah.
And
well,
so how did that happen? How'd you get that?
Well, when we were putting the website together, we were trying to look for something that would best represent my practice and where I'm from. And obviously, I'm from St. Petersburg. My office is in St. Petersburg. And we came across this particular video, and the webmaster contacted the folks who put it together, and they authorized us to use it. And I think it's a great reflection and depiction of the beauty of St. Petersburg and the downtown area. And you see the water and a lot of the buildings, obviously. And so I thought that would be a good way to introduce, you know, my firm to those looking for an attorney or for legal services.
And it looks like you still have a picture, though, of where the pier is still there.
Actually, the pier is still there. I guess it's not there anymore. I guess something new will be there in the next few years.
Yeah,
so.
But what a great picture. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Anyway, just allowing people to know about that. So let's talk about your types of cases that you've worked on. And you do, in your business, commercial, and general civil litigation practice, you do a lot of business and commercial claims. You know, what kind of cases would you see or would you work with?
Well, in the business and civil litigation area, basically what that entails is a lot of different things. For example, there can be businesses that enter into agreements, and for whatever reason, there may be a dispute that has arisen from a particular agreement the two businesses entered into. And if they're not able to resolve it, sometimes there's litigation, or as I said before, in some contracts, there is a binding arbitration provision. So you have to, as a lawyer, look at those things to determine where the proper venue or jurisdiction will be for any particular agreement. But with regard to the types of cases, it can be a breach of contract claim. It can be some type of tortious interference claim.
What's tortious?
Sometimes there are claims where if there's a contract and a party who has no relationship to that contract takes certain actions to interfere with that agreement, that can result in claim of tortious interference. And then you have claims that fall in sort of overlap. For example, in the labor or employment field, a business may have entered into a non-compete with an employee or with upper-level manager. And so sometimes that particular individual may leave that business and go to work for a competitor. And depending upon the language of the non-compete or confidentiality agreement or both, that could result in one or both parties bringing a claim to either enforce it or to determine if it's enforceable, because there are statutes in Florida that address how a court would interpret and apply the law as it relates to non-compete agreements. They have to be reasonable with regard to the scope of the agreement, which means the geographic area, and also the length of the agreement. And depending upon some issues that are addressed in the statute, some periods of time in terms of the length of the agreement can be longer, and sometimes the statute requires that they be less in terms of the length of the agreement because it doesn't relate to the sale of the business. So if you have an asset sale, then sometimes the courts and the statute will allow the term to be longer.
I see. You also work with trade secrets litigation in that area?
Well, those relate more to confidentiality agreements. Okay. They sometimes could involve trade secrets. But the confidentiality provisions and trade secrets under the statute are designed to protect companies that invest a lot of time, effort, and expense into developing particular information. So it's not something where it's readily available. For example, if you go to a phone book and just pick out names out of a phone book and come up with a list, that's generally available to the public. So that technically many times would not be considered a trade secret. But if it's something, some type of formula or other trade secret that's been developed by the company that makes them unique and gives them a competitive advantage, then the courts will look at that and they'll look at the facts, and if it is a trade secret, they'll protect that.
Mm-hmm. And you also work with regulatory and administrative enforcement actions.
Right.
So tell us about where that comes into play.
Okay, sure. Well, in the labor and employment field, there are regulatory bodies that look at claims or charges of what we call discrimination that could involve age discrimination, it could involve race, religion, gender. And here in Pinellas County, you have the Office of Human Rights that basically is in charge of enforcing and reviewing matters that come before it with regard to the ordinance here in Pinellas County. Mm-hmm. And then you have a state agency that also addresses various state laws that also involve these types of issues. And then you have the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And so in terms of the regulatory realm, what will happen is that sometimes the current or former employees will file a charge of discrimination, and those will be investigated by these bodies. And in my role as an employment lawyer, I will basically be retained by a entity, an organization, a corporation to investigate that particular information that the company receives from the regulators, evaluate it, and respond to the regulators as it relates to the company's position as to whether or not there was a potential violation.
Okay. And you also, I was reading that you do on, especially I think more in the healthcare space, but still litigation part, you work with real estate zoning and land use?
Yes, I've done that in my career. I've handled zoning matters that relate to variances or special exceptions, land use related matters, eminent domain matters. So I have experience in that area. I've also actually argued a case that took many years, but it went up to the Florida Supreme Court and argued that case as it related to a matter that initially arose as a zoning matter. And 12 years later, the court heard arguments concerning the issue of a bond being posted when there is an injunction being sought by a governmental agency. And we argued that case before the Supreme Court of Florida. And it was a great honor and privilege. And fortunately, we prevailed in the case and we established new law. That was a great experience. Had the opportunity to meet a couple of the justices at the time. Leander Shaw was one and Major Harding the other, and they came back and they were very cordial, and they greeted all the lawyers getting ready to make their arguments that morning and wished all of us luck, and then we went out there a little while later and made our arguments. So,
nice.
Great experience.
Okay. And you also do construction claims?
I've handled construction litigation early in my career and to this day. I have handled from time to time construction issues that can relate to either breach of contract claims or sometimes it involves lien issues. I had represented many years ago Levitt Homes concerning some developments they had here in Pinellas County. So that was actually two class actions, and they were very interesting cases.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned eminent domain, but then also inverse condemnation and regulatory taking claims.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, a regulatory or inverse condemnation claim is basically an action that is brought by a property owner. And this is where the state, or it could be the federal government, does not actually bring a taking claim formally in a court. Here in Florida, a governmental agency can condemn property if there is a public purpose for that action. For example, if there's a highway they need to widen and they're going to need some private property, here in Florida, they have to go through a process whereby it can be a slow take process or what they call a quick take, but basically what happens is that there are initial contacts from the governmental agency. If it can be resolved with the homeowner being paid fair market or full market value for the property, then sometimes they're resolved that way. If the landowner does not agree with the offer being made by the state governmental agency or local agency, then an action would be brought by the government to condemn the property. And in Florida, it's a very unique process because here in Florida, if there's an action taken, for example, by the State Department of Transportation, the state of Florida is required to not only pay for your lawyer, but also for all your expert witnesses. Mm. So the landowner does not incur those costs. Mm-hmm. Those are borne by the state because obviously they're going to be taking your property. Mm-hmm. And the other unique thing about that process is that there are only two types of cases in Florida where you have 12 jurors. The first is in a capital murder case where the state is seeking the death penalty, and the other type of case is an eminent domain case where they're taking property. All other cases are 6 jurors.
Wow. Well, that's interesting to know. Didn't know that.
Yeah. little trivia for
sure.
You there. But that shows you the value that we place on life and property and liberty.
Yeah, great. I'm speaking with attorney Brian Battaglia. And Brian, let's talk a little bit more about the employment and labor law practice. Who do you typically represent, the company or the employee or both?
A majority of my practice, or the bulk of it, I can't give you a percentage, but mostly it's for the employer, or sometimes it'll be also for the union, which is technically the employee. But it's more management related in terms of the entities I'm representing. Mm-hmm. And then I will from time to time represent employees mm-hmm. who have an issue that arises. That could be with a non-compete agreement where they're being threatened with an action by a former employer because they're working for potentially a competitor.
Right.
And or it could be a company that's trying to enforce one of those.
Mm-hmm.
In those cases, you have to evaluate if the agreement is enforceable. As I mentioned before, there's a statute in Florida, and there has to be a legitimate business reason for the agreement to support it. For example, if somebody works for a gas station, is pumping gas, and the employer hasn't really given them any training, so to speak, and they may have done that before, it would be very hard for the employer to argue that that employee went to work for another gas station, shouldn't work for another gas station. Mm-hmm. Because in that instance, they would be pretty much preventing him from earning a living.
Right.
So the thing that the courts look to is whether, there's a legitimate business purpose, that there's been significant training provided to that employee by the former employer mm-hmm. that would justify the enforcement of that non-compete.
Mm-hmm. Also, reading your website, it talks about workplace investigations and audits. And who would hire you, for those audits?
Sure. Well, those can entail a lot of different things. I mentioned earlier the issue with regard to some of the regulatory bodies where there are times where an employee may file what they call a charge of discrimination with a local board or the state or with the EEOC. And in those instances, what will happen is that the employer will receive a letter from, for example, the EEOC. And they're invited to respond to that particular charge. So they will receive the actual affidavit signed by the employee under oath stating what the alleged violation was. Again, as I mentioned, it could be age discrimination they're claiming or race or some other area that's protected under the law. Mm-hmm. And then it would be my obligation as counsel for the client to conduct a investigation to evaluate exactly what transpired, mm-hmm. whether it's valid or not. And then we respond to the charge. Sometimes there's a process called conciliation, where the employer and the employee and the regulators can meet and discuss the matter. But that's really the process. So it's designed to see whether issues that are brought up can be resolved before it ends up in court.
Right. This is Florida's a right to work state. Is that correct?
Yes, what's called a right-to-work state, or employees are employees at will.
Mm-hmm. And how's that affect wrongful termination cases? It almost seems like it would be impossible to, wrongfully terminate somebody. Is it different in this state than it is in states that are not at will?
There are other states in the country that probably have a little more favorable statutory framework for employees. As it relates to the employee's perspective. In Florida, we are what's called, as you mentioned, a right-to-work state, which means that, and this goes basically both ways, so if you're the employee and you don't like working for that particular employer, you can leave. Mm-hmm. If you're the employer and you have to make certain business decisions concerning either reducing the workforce or maybe that particular employee is not doing the job, you're free to make a decision that would separate that employee from the employer. But again, there are exceptions to that, and that relates to some of the things we've mentioned. There are federal, state, and local laws that prohibit certain conduct. So as long as those decisions that are being made by the employer are not based on some protected status or are violative of these laws, then that doctrine does apply. Hmm. But if there are issues that bring into play the statutory protections, then that particular employee at will doctrine will not protect the employer.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about your healthcare law practice too. I understand, graduating from the Institute for Health Law truly has, I'm sure, helped you to meet your clients' healthcare law needs for sure. It's an excellent background to have. Let's talk about the Affordable Care Act. Has that had a big impact on everyone, including the healthcare entities, providers, and consumers?
Well, I mean, you see it in the paper and then on the internet. A lot of the different articles concerning this particular new law that went into effect a couple of years ago, and there are obviously many regulations that implicate what's required of the parties who are affected by this. There are healthcare exchanges that have been created to provide certain tax incentives or reductions in the premium that is being paid by the individual depending upon their actual income. So part of the program that was established set up this process whereby, depending upon the number of dependents and the people covered by the policy, there are possibly certain tax benefits or reductions that would be available to the insured, which are available. And if you qualify for those, then it would reduce the premium being paid, because I think it's probably acknowledged by everybody now that the premiums have gone up, mm-hmm. in some instances 30, 40, 50% from what they were 2 years ago. So the actual program itself was, I guess, designed to address some of that. But again, if you don't qualify and do not have the income level that would allow you to get those credits, then your premiums will have an impact on you and your family.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk just a little bit more in the healthcare space. Work with licensure and disciplinary representation. Are you on the hospital side or the employee side at that point, or how does
my experience? Yeah, my experience has been mostly in the area of assisting licensed professionals, whether it's in the nursing field, for example, who for whatever reason have received a complaint by either an entity they may be working for or some other particular individual who files a complaint, and then what happens is that it goes through the process, and you assist them in discussing the issues with the regulator or the board, whatever it may be. It could be the Board of Medicine, could be the Board of Nursing, et cetera. So that's the process. There's it's administrative law, essentially.
Okay. And just finally in the healthcare, talk about ERISA. What is that? And
sure.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, ERISA, it's a federal law. It was established back in the early 70s part of it was actually established to address certain pension problems that had occurred. There had been some defaults in pensions, and so it was designed to address, in part, trying to protect the employees who would potentially be affected if there was a pension plan that became insolvent. The other part of it was to try and create a statute that would allow for certain laws affecting insurance and health insurance to be even across the board as it relates to the standards that would be applied and how they would affect the employee and the business. Because when you have a large company and you're operating in many different jurisdictions, it's difficult to try and address a number of laws in different states. So that's part of the reason ERISA was implemented. You know, I've handled ERISA-related matters. I recently had a matter that related more on the pension side concerning issues relating to a plan and a entity that ended up in bankruptcy. It was a Department of Labor case. But it's an interesting statute. And on the pension side, it really applies issues relating to the fiduciary standards and what's required of, for example, officers and directors of a corporation and what their duties are in maintaining a properly balanced plan for the employee.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Another part of your practice, law practice, deals with personal injury cases. What's the bulk of the cases that you see?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of personal injury cases, I'll handle cases from time to time for clients, existing clients, and may have an issue or a friend that was injured, and it can be a number of things. It could be either a personal injury, for example, a car accident, or it could be another somewhat related matter concerning property damage. So those are the types of matters. Usually I would assist a former client or existing client with.
My guest today is attorney Brian Battaglia. And Brian, we're getting close to the end here. I only have a few more questions.
Sure.
And so this brings us to the interview tip of the week. And I understand you've worked, in different law practices. And so if someone was to apply for a position as a lawyer or any other position at your firm, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Well, I think the first thing is that they should, if they're going to apply at a company or business or law practice, they should first do their due diligence as it relates to determining whether that's a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. And find out if the company does the type of business or is involved in an area that's of great interest to that prospective employee. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, obviously, if you're going to be spending the bulk of your day at a place of business or work, you want to make sure it's a place where you're doing something that you really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because as they say, if you love your work, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, the key thing, to make sure that's really a good fit for you. Because if it is, you're going to be very happy there, and you're going to feel fulfilled, and you're going to accomplish things that you want to do in your career.
Well, I think that's great advice. So thanks very much for sharing your thoughts there. And one last thing. So for anyone that's listening that is considering, moving their family or business or something, what would you say to anyone who's thinking of that? And would you recommend Tampa Bay as a place that they should consider?
Well, growing up here, being born in St. Petersburg and seeing the development and growth of this area, and also having traveled to other areas of the country, going to school at Drake and then also in Chicago and traveling throughout the country, I can tell you that the quality of life here is really something that we probably take for granted many times because of the beauty of the water, the beach, and all the other things that we have here. But I would say that we have a lot of excellent advantages that maybe some other parts of the country they do not have. And one is, for example, the Tampa International Airport. It's probably one of the finest airports and has been acknowledged as such by many of the folks that rate airports and international airports. It's very easy to use. It's beautiful. It's being expanded right now. So for a business thinking of relocating here to the Tampa Bay area, you can get over to Tampa International Airport, depending on whether you're in St. Pete, Clearwater, or Tampa, within a matter of probably 20 to 30 minutes. You can be on your plane shortly thereafter, and you're not going to have to worry about having your flight canceled because of the snow, sleet, or freezing rain, which happened to me about 2 weeks ago in Chicago.
Really?
Okay. And they told me I couldn't have another flight for 5 days.
So,
unfortunately, we were able to get a flight 2 days later. So you don't have to worry about that. So I think that's probably a nice advantage. And we have three great sports teams, the Buccaneers, the Rays, and the Lightning, and some minor league teams that play in the area. And then I think we have many unique companies in the area, whether it's in the software area, in the basically tourism area, and also in light manufacturing. Here in Pinellas County, people don't know, we're, I think, have the highest number of light manufacturing companies in the state of Florida. So that's a great advantage for companies that need that type of work for their product. And then the schools, I think, obviously there are challenges, but the school system in the area has made great strides since I went to school many years ago. And there are a lot of great schools, and the ones that are struggling, I know people in this community care about our schools and the children, and they're working very hard to improve those schools. So I'm proud of that.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate your thoughts on there. And also, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I really hope you'll come back again and let us know, and also keep us informed of any updates and any job openings you might have as well, and just anything that you'd like to have mentioned on the air. And so if anyone wants to learn more about your law firm, Brian, how can they do that?
Well, they can call, obviously. My number is 727-327-4222, and then they can go to the website. It's Brian P. Battaglia Law, and there's a website there, and it has a lot of information concerning what we do, and that's primarily the best way to get in touch with me.
And if somebody does call you, will they get a law clerk, or will they get an assistant, or will they be able to talk to you?
Well, if you want to call my office, you won't meet with a paralegal, you won't talk with a paralegal, or an insurance adjuster, or a law clerk. You'll meet with me, and I'll answer your questions, I'll outline your options, and I'll be there for you. And that's the focus of my practice, and that's basically what we're trying to do, or I'm trying to do at my practice, is give hands-on representation to my clients and take the time that they need for their particular issue or problem.
Well, great, Brian. Thank you so much for being here. And that's my guest today has been Mr. Brian Battaglia, a prominent attorney located in the Grand Central section of St. Petersburg. And if you have a legal matter and want to talk to a lawyer instead of a paralegal, insurance adjuster, or a law clerk, give Brian a call. And also check out that website. The opening picture is just great. I really liked it.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay. And now it's time for the Job Talk alumni updates. The St. Pete Area Chamber of Commerce is having their biggest networking event of the year on January 28th. They'll be hosting the 117th annual meeting at the Mahaffey Theater. Last year it drew 1,200 attendees. It's a great event. You should plan to attend. And this Saturday, the East-West Shrine Game kicks off at 4 p.m., and it's at Tropicana Field. So make sure you check that out. It's a great event. Harold was on last week, and you want to listen to the, that, you can listen to it in the archive sections. It was a great interview. And before and after the game, of course, be sure to stop by and say hello to our friends at Ferg's. They always have a great tailgate party there right across the street from the Trop. And the shout-outs today go to Teresa. It's great to hear from you. James in Arkansas, great to meet you, and looking forward to working with you. And to Duncan McClellan, one of the area's leaders in the art scene and a future guest on Job Talk soon. If you haven't been to his gallery, you definitely want to put it on your calendar to visit, and I'm really looking forward to that interview. And I hope you've had time to check out the great music on RadioSt.Pete.com, as it features local musicians here, too. You can choose your favorite style of music 24 hours a day, including pop, country, jazz, and classical. Other interesting programs you might enjoy are live broadcasts like the Suncoast Tiger Bay Luncheon that we talked about with Brian. And also be sure to listen to Will Coombs as he hosts the Homemade Broadcast on Sundays, and treat yourself to the Indie Circuit with Mile that airs on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Toriana Parker has a new program he calls Heart-Hitting Radio, and that airs on Thursdays at 12:15. And you can also look for his broadcasts on YouTube. So be sure to check out the website often and see what's new. There's some new great shows in production, and I'll let you know about them as they come closer to being on the air. And you can download our free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. So check it out. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. You can send those to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. I really look forward to your comments and suggestions. I also want to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Kat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did, too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live from Think Tank at Priatec Plaza in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit ThinkTankConnect.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. ThinkTankConnect.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you're unemployed, underemployed, or changing careers, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will train you how to earn great money while helping people in a career as a recruiter. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Think Tank at Priatec Plaza in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com.